searching for happiness, this the way to go. You say you want peace, this the way to go. If you trying to see Jesus, this the way to go. We all wanna live, this the way to go.
The show,
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 this the way to go.
The show.
You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of a Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go. Thank you for listening to today's message. Please be sure to stop by Pastor Baker's website. Go to www.jeromeabaker.com. Until next time, remember, Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You just need to know the way to go.
Text and the topic. In our text, young people, Jesus, of course, is speaking. And one of the truths that he reveals in the text has to do with his identity. And identity, in simplest forms, has to do with who a person is. And as a young woman or as a young man, it is very important for you to know who you are. I like to tell young people, if you do not know who you are as it pertains to the will of God, you will spend and waste a lot of time trying to be somebody that God never ordained for you to be. The best person that you can be is you. It's only one you. When you and I are dead and gone, there'll never be another one of us. Someone may have the same name that we had, but there is only one unique you. And so Jesus is telling Martha and those who are around listening something about his identity. This is very important. Young people need to know who Jesus is from a Bible standpoint as well as a personal standpoint. Whether you are a teenager, in your mid-20s, or older, you need to know what the Bible says about Jesus. You need to be able to know what the scripture teaches about who Jesus is from a biblical standpoint. You need to know different things about him. For instance, you need to know John 14 and 6. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. That's good. You need to know John 10:10. Jesus said he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. You need to know that Jesus is God's only begotten Son, according to John 3:16. And whoever believes on him shall not perish, but have eternal or everlasting life. And we could go on and on. But more than just knowing Jesus biblically, young folk, you need to know him personally for yourself. You need to know that Jesus is real. You need to know for yourself not only what the Bible says he can do, but you need to have your own personal testimony of what the Lord has done for you. Yeah. David said, look, you need to taste and see that the Lord is good. You need to experience God's saving power for yourself. You need to know for yourself that Jesus can answer prayer. You need to know for yourself Jesus. Tell somebody you need to know him for yourself. Why, Pastor? Why is this important? Daniel 11 and 32. Write that down if you're taking notes. Daniel 11 and 32. In part, young people, says this. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. See, if you know Jesus for yourself, you're going to be strong. Yeah, when the hardships of life come your way because you know Jesus, you can still enjoy life. Why? You know God. You don't have to turn to weed. You don't have to turn to alcohol. You don't have to pop no pills. You don't have to run away from home. Why? You know your God for yourself. And so you can be strong. But what does that say about a young person that does not know Jesus? They're weak. They're weak emotionally, weak mentally, weak when it comes to self-confidence. Trying to keep up with the crowd and their peers. That's a weak-minded individual. And see, when God's people don't have knowledge of who God is, Hosea 4 and 6 said they're going to perish. For my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Every day, young people, gives us the opportunity to know Jesus better. Every single day. Every single day gives us the opportunity to learn something new about our God. And when we learn truth about him, it makes us wise or strong. Knowing God is beneficial. Knowing Jesus for yourself is beneficial. Coming to God's house, hearing his word and putting it into action will make you strong. But on the flip side, coming to God's church and the word comes forth and you don't put it into action, you're going to be weak. You're going to be weak. I would rather be strong than weak. What about you? Yeah. So I need to make sure I know God for myself. And what a wonderful opportunity we have in our youth to know God. We don't have to do like some of our peers and some of our grandparents and parents. They didn't get to know Jesus until they were well off in their 30s, 40s, or older. But God has given us the opportunity to know him while we are young. Boy, I love testimonies like we heard this morning from Brother Pierre. When you get to know Jesus from a young age, you ain't doing nothing but setting yourself up for God's blessings. Came into the Lord as a preteen and just stayed in God. And I love the testimony because he said he didn't know everything. He didn't have full understanding, but he hung in there. And God just kept feeding him. And now look at his life. Powerful testimony. Homeowner. Not just one stream of income, multiple streams of income. Did y'all hear the testimony? Not one, not two, but another one. Three cars pulled up today in a brand new one. God will bless you when you know him. And starting at a young age. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to look at three truths that the Spirit of God has dealt with me about this week. As it pertains to the identity of Jesus. How many would agree we need to know the Lord better? Yes. Yeah. All right. So let's look at three truths about who Jesus is. All right. Number one, very important. Jesus is our Redeemer. Jesus is our Redeemer. The name Jesus simply means deliverer or salvation. When you talk about Jesus, you are talking about someone that can bring you out. You are talking about someone that can provide for you help better than your mama, better than the most powerful person living here on earth. They cannot deliver like the Lord. He is the one that delivers or gives us salvation. He's the one that protects us, young people. He's the one that prospers us. He's the one that delivers us from trouble as well as from sin. Let's go to Acts 2. Acts 2. This is elementary, but very important. Let's go to Acts 2 and notice verse number 21. Jesus is our redeemer. Look at this. Luke says in Acts 2:21, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Woo, whoever. 10 years old, you call on the name of Jesus, he gonna deliver you. 17, and you done messed up some stuff in your life. I dare you out of a sincere heart to call on the name of Jesus. And guess what he will do? He will save or deliver. You get to going through things in your body. You can call on the name of Jesus and he will he'll deliver. Oh, yes, he will. I said he will deliver. No matter where you find yourself in life, as a college student, high school student, athlete, always remember you can call on the name of Jesus. No matter how deep down and mess you may find yourself because of your choices, God's arm is not too short that it cannot save. His ear is not too heavy that it cannot hear. You can call on the name of Jesus and he will deliver. He will redeem. He will make a person free. Y'all ain't excited about it. When I look at how my life used to be, it wasn't nobody but the Lord that saved me. Nobody but Jesus that cleaned me up and started using me for his glory. And even since I got saved, young folk, I done messed up. I done thought some things, said some things, and done some things I shouldn't have been doing, but the Lord redeemed me. I just fell to my knees and confessed to the Lord my unrighteousness. Lord, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? I repent. And guess what he did? He said, Baker, I got you. I got you. I'll forgive you and I'll deliver you from this day forward. How many know that the Lord will redeem you? Second truth I want us to know about Jesus. What's the first one? He is our redeemer. Now, am I speaking in Spanish or English? Well, y'all talk back in English. He is our redeemer. Second truth about the identity of Jesus. He is our ransom. He is our ransom. Let's go to Mark 10. 45. Y'all come on and scroll or flip with me. Mark 10, 45. And it reads, for even the Son of Man did not come, help me out, to be served, but to what? To serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus came to give his life a ransom for many. A ransom, young people, means a sacrifice. Jesus was my sacrifice and your sacrifice. We were all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And because of sin, young people, we should all receive death. For the wages of sin is death. We should all die because of sin. But Jesus, he said, I'm going to be their ransom. I'm going to come and I'm going to live a sinless life, a perfect life. And I'm going to be their sacrifice for sin. I'm going to die for them so they don't have to die. I'm going to go to hell for them so they don't have to go to hell. I'm I'm going to be their ransom. I'm going to be their sacrifice. And I'm so glad he was my ransom, because I couldn't pay the price of my own. I said I couldn't pay the price on my own, and I know you got it going on, but you couldn't pay that price. You couldn't take them whips that he took. You couldn't suffer the way he suffered and ultimately be killed by the hands of man. Oh, Lord, he was my sacrifice. And let me tell you something, young folk that are here on this morning, we should never forget what the Lord has done for us. I said we should never forget what the Lord has done for us. When you don't feel like serving the Lord, you need to remember he was my ransom. He has given me the ability to serve, and I don't feel like it, but Jesus came down and he was my sacrifice. I could at least dedicate myself to him and be a living sacrifice. When you don't feel like singing and you say you got all these problems in your life, you need to throw them excuses out the door and remember how Jesus was your ransom. Remember how he sacrificed his life. Surely you got enough strength to get up and give him the glory with the voice that he has blessed you with. He was our sacrifice. Young people, when sin is knocking at your door, and temptation is dealing with your mind, your soul, and your heart, you need to remember you got a choice. You have an alternative. You don't have to partake in sin. All you got to do is remember, he was my sacrifice. He paid the cost for my sin. I don't have to do this. I don't have to go there. I don't have to partake in this. He was my sacrifice, and I'm happy about it. I said, I'm happy that he died for me so I don't have to die. Woo, I said, he died for me so I don't have to die. But you know what's jacked up? Is so many young people that don't accept the sacrifice. They feel like, hey, this is my life. I do what I want to do. And they die in their sin, but didn't have to. Didn't have to, but that was their choice. He was my ransom. Good God Almighty. Look at Hebrews 10 and 12. I got it right here on the wall. Read it with me. But this man, after he had offered how many sacrifices? One. What was the one sacrifice? His life. One sacrifice. That was it. That's all it took for us to be made whole. Do you know what Jesus went through for you and I? I said, do you know what Jesus went through for you and I? The abuse. Oh, my God. Stripped them naked. Spit on them. Beat them. Talked about them. Then put them on a whipping post. I mean, just wouldn't just kill them, but just had to just slaughter him. Whipped him 39 times. Not with a belt like we get whippings. Y'all get whippings? Or used to get whippings? Not with a switch like many of us used to get. No. A leather whip with stones with spikes at the end. And it wasn't like he was playing. This guy was raving back and snapping that whip. And every time it hit his body, whether it was his back, his face, his legs, it would just implant in his skin and just pull it to shreds. Pull it to shreds. 39 times. Just whipping them. Could you imagine blood just everywhere? Then took a crown of thorns that many say the thorns was 1 to 3 inches long. Not like no stickerbrow bush. Took the crown of thorns, placed it on his head, and pressed it down to where it penetrated not only the skin, But some historians say even the brain. Then made him carry a heavy wooden cross over a mile far up a hill. Up a hill. By himself. Man tried to come and help him carry it. No. I got to be the sacrifice by myself. Took his own cross up a hill on his back. Got up there. And then they got stakes. Not, we call them nails, but they were really long metal rods, nails, and just took his hands and penetrated his hands and nailed them to the cross. Then took his feet and put the same nails or stakes in his feet and hung them there to die. Hung them there and left them to die. That's the sacrifice. Just a picture of the sacrifice that was paid for you and for I. And I thank him. I thank him. Lord have mercy. He was my ransom. I thank him. Every day you need to remember the price that was paid. Listen, young people, the Bible says this. We were bought with a price. That's the price that was paid for your soul's salvation. It was blood. Blood had to be shed, young folk, in order for us to have remission of sins. And Jesus said, you know what? I'll shed blood for them. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. I know they sometimes don't do what they should do, but I'll be that sacrifice. I know sometimes they talk the way they shouldn't talk, but I'll still die for them. Carry the weight of the world's sin on his back. Oh, Jesus, I'm so glad he was my ransom. And guess how the Bible describes him being our ransom? Him going through all that was love. That's what the Bible said. He did it because of love. Romans 5 and 8 says, but God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. He did all of what I just described out of love. See, love is more than a feeling, young people. Love has to do, in one sense, with commitment. I'm committed to them young folk. I'm so committed to them that I die for them. That's how much I love them. I just die for them. And he did it while we was sinners, while we was doing him wrong. He said, I'm going to die for him. This is what get me. Some folks still do God wrong, but he still died for him. I said this earlier, but it's such a gem, young folk. No matter what you go through in life, never forget what the Lord did for you. Amen. Never forget what the Lord did for you. Never forget. Because sometimes in life, young folk, you feel like throwing in the towel. Sometimes you feel like giving up. But that's when you got to remember, Lord, Jesus, you went through so much for me. I can't cast away my confidence. I can't do it. I mean, I can do it, but Lord, you done so much for me. Matter of fact, you done for me probably what I wouldn't even do for myself. You died for me. I'm not even willing to die. For me, I can't forget. Y'all ought to help me encourage somebody. Say, don't you ever forget. Don't you ever forget what the Lord did for you. So, what have we learned about the Lord's identity? He's our Redeemer. He's our ransom. And what I want to deal with this morning is what's said in our main verse. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. See, God giving us knowledge and understanding. We need to know Jesus. We done learned, Lord, you are our redeemer. You the one that can deliver us. You are our ransom. You the one that paid the ultimate sacrifice so we don't die in sin. All I need to do is receive you as Lord and Savior through repentance and just stay in your will. But now you're telling us in John 11 that you are the resurrection. Resurrection simply means to rise again. To rise again. Secondly, resurrection or to resurrect means to recover. Now, what was going on in John 11, something I want you to read and we'll talk about later, is that one of Jesus' good friends by the name of Lazarus had died. And so Lazarus died and his sisters, they was like, you know what? We need to get Jesus because Jesus, he life. He got power. And Lazarus got sick and then he died. And they was like, we get Jesus. He going to come and everything going to be good. So Lazarus ended up dying and they sent word to Jesus. Jesus didn't come immediately. 3 days went by, and then he showed up. And by then, Martha was mad at the preacher. Where you was at? If you would have been here, everything would have been all right. But now my brother dead, and he in the tomb, and his body, it stink. He been dead. Why are you here now, preacher? Jesus looked at Martha and told her our verse. He said, look, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. And see, they were thinking in their mind that, look, yeah, we know after we die, we're going to be resurrected. But it was bigger than just physical death. I am the resurrection. I am the one that can cause people and things to rise again. I am the one that can cause people and situations to recover. And see, when it comes to the resurrection, Martha was a disciple. He was telling her this because I believe everyone who believes in the Lord should believe in the resurrection. How many in here Christian? Yeah. If you Christian, you sure enough need to believe in the resurrection. But you know what? Everyone don't believe in the resurrection. Even folk that call themselves Christian don't believe in resurrection. Oh, Lord. Y'all go to Acts 17. Y'all still with me, MSW?
Yes.
All right, Acts 17. Look at this, verse 32. Let me prove to you that everybody don't believe in the resurrection. And it reads, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some did what? They mocked. Some made fun of the resurrection of the dead. But then the text goes on to say, while others said, we will hear you again on this matter. So you got two types of people, some that do not believe in the resurrection of the dead and some that do believe. They want some more information about this resurrection. In our audience today, you got some young folk that don't believe in the resurrection and you got some that do believe in the resurrection. Two types of people. The question is, which one are you? Which one are you? We need to believe in the resurrection of the dead. It's no way you can be a faith walker if you don't believe in the resurrection of the dead. You can't be no true faith walker. You can't say that you living by faith and not by sight if you don't believe in the resurrection. So what you talking about, Pastor? See, when Jesus began his ministry, he constantly taught his disciples he would be killed, but he would rise again on the third day. He constantly told them that, right? I'm not going to go to it, but in Mark 9 and 31, it talks about how he was telling his disciples or teaching them, look, y'all, I'm going to die, but I'm going to rise again. I'm going to what? Die, but I'm going to what? Rise again. He constantly told his disciples that. I want y'all to believe in the resurrection of the dead. The resurrection of Christ is not only about the literal death of Jesus, young folk, but also about the figurative deaths we experience in life as well. The resurrection, yes, it has to do with physical people dying and then rising again, right? But it also has to do with literal times in our life, young people, where we experience death. Jesus can resurrect that situation. Jesus can turn that situation around. Why? He is the resurrection. When something bad happens to you, it doesn't have to stay bad if you in God. He can resurrect it. You get sick in your body. Sickness doesn't have to stay there because Jesus can cause recovery or resurrection. You lose a job. Hey. God can still resurrect your job situation. Are y'all catching on yet? You're not making as much money as you used to. If you in God, you should believe in the resurrection. God can resurrect your finances. He can cause a turnaround to take place. It may be dead, but if you believe, if you live by faith, you can live again. Young people, get it in your heart, get it in your spirit that God can resurrect your situations in life, no matter what you go through. Life is about experiencing much and little. Life is about experiencing mountaintops and valleys. Life is about experiencing abundance as well as little or lack. But when you get in low situations and you are in Christ, you should always have the mindset that Jesus can resurrect this situation. What I see, what I'm experiencing is temporary. Yeah, this is a dead season, so to speak, in my life, but it's not going to always be dead. Why? Better is here. Better is coming. That sounds like resurrection. Bigger is here. Bigger is coming. Things trying to make me sad and depressed, but God wants me to be happy. That sounds like resurrection. We have to always remember Jesus is the resurrection. There's power in the resurrection of God. That's what Paul said, young folk, in Philippians 3 and 10. He said, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. When your loved ones get sick and they're talking about what they're going through, you need to have the mindset, Jesus can resurrect your sickness. He can turn that situation completely around, whether he do it here on earth or he do it and he allow you to die. You ain't getting into heaven with no sickness. So either way it go, it's going to be resurrection. it's going to be resurrection. We can't lose. I said, we can't lose. In him is victory, young folk. We stay winning in Christ. We can't lose. Our God has resurrection power. I have heard testimonies come through the MSW over the last couple of years about people being unemployed, but now God done resurrected their situation. He sustained them through the unemployment, and now they're doing better than there was before they lost their job. What do you call that? Resurrection. There are folk in here that have been sick in their body, but they're doing better now. I said they are doing better now. They just ain't maintaining. They're doing better. What do you call that? Resurrection. There are folk in here that had some debt, and I'm talking about thousands of dollars. They was in debt, but guess what God did to their finances? He resurrected their finances. Jesus is the resurrection. He can change your situation for the better. That's why we don't say it is what it is. No. What we see, young folk, can change. As long as we stay connected to the will of God, he can resurrect our dead situation. And see, the Lord is trying to let us know this morning, I don't know what you're going through, but you need to be expecting resurrection. You need to be expecting in the days ahead some things to rise again, just like Lazarus did in the text. You need to be expecting things to get better and better and better. You may not be at the level of better you want to be at, but let resurrection set in. You're not only going to get to that level, you're going to exceed it. Why? Our God can do exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or what we can think. Resurrection. I was listening to P. I keep going back to that powerful testimony. Y'all still with me? I was listening to his testimony about how God is blessing him. But little do y'all know, just a few months ago, he ain't even had no job. You know what I'm saying? He ain't even had no job. But look at God sustained him through that, but then resurrected his life. Am I telling the truth? Yeah. Resurrection is real, young folk. Who take notes? Write this down. Romans 4. No, I'm serious. Write this down. Because it's more than just Jesus being resurrected in Scripture. Lazarus being resurrected in Scripture. There are other examples in Scripture we need to know. Because one day you need to be able to say, not just Jesus, not just Lazarus, but your name also. Am I right? Romans 4 talks about Abraham. Y'all read it on your own spare time, but it just goes so good with the teaching. Abraham's wife had a dead womb, but they believed God and life came forth. What do you call that? Resurrection. Scripture says he did not even consider the deadness of her womb. But see, they trusted God, and resurrection took place. Whatever's dead in your life, if you just keep trusting God, guess what he's going to do? Resurrect it. Resurrect it. Job 14:14. Job's life was in ruin. Job was going through. Children died, wife tripping, money gone, sheep gone. Property done got destroyed. I mean, he got sick in his body. I mean, he was going through. But he believed God. And guess what the Lord did? Resurrected his life. He had double. God gave him double. And he was already rich, but God made him double rich. He resurrected his life. And of course, we talked about Lazarus. God does not change, young folk. In life, sooner or later, you're going to experience some deadness. Sooner or later. That's just a part of life. Sooner or later, you're going to go through on your job. Sooner or later, you're going to have trials in your marriage. Sooner or later, you're going to have some issues take place with your money. But all hope ain't lost. Not when you got Jesus. Not when you are a faith walker, because you understand any day, at any moment, he can resurrect your life. He can send one person in your life to bless you so good, give you in one day what take you a year to make. Yeah, he can do in one day what doctors been trying to do for 5 years. Resurrection. The key to experiencing resurrection when we consider our verse, young people, is our faith. Whether you're dealing with some things right now as a young adult or as a young person in your personal life or in your family, school, or whatever, the key to God turning it around for your good is your faith. Even in my life, the key to God resurrecting things in my life is my faith. That's what he said in John 11:25. He said, for those who believe, though they die, they will live. And that's what we want. How many want to live? Yeah. But he said, it's for those who believe. The Bible says, well, how can they believe without a preacher? So you got to have a preacher to come and teach you what thus saith God, and then you do accordingly. And when you and I do based upon what the preacher brings to the table, that's when resurrection starts or continues in our life. I just got to live by faith. Yeah, life ain't always wonderful, so to speak, naturally speaking. Even in trials, we can have and conduct ourselves like everything is wonderful. But when you look at certain things, you be like, oh, Lord, I don't see pleasant things. But even when we get to going through things, young folk, we can still be happy. We can still enjoy life. Lord have mercy. Are y'all still understanding? Whatever you go through, young folk, you got to keep the faith. You got to keep the faith. You got to continue to trust God. You got to keep praying. You got to keep hoping. We don't hope based upon what we see. That ain't real hope. We hope for what we don't see. Why? We're believing that God is going to resurrect some things in our life. Matter of fact, we ain't just believing it. I'm to the point where I'm knowing it. Because how many know when Jesus says a thing, it's going to come to pass? He told his disciples time and time again that he was going to die. And on the third day, rise again. And guess what happened? He died. And on the what? Third day, what did he do? He rose again. So the Lord going to do exactly what he said. We just got to keep the faith. I don't know what you're going through in life. Keep the faith. Resurrection is working. It works for faith walkers. Am I right about it? I want to conclude with Matthew 28. I want everybody that is on an app or have a Bible, go to Matthew 28. And I want to conclude by reading what I just explained. Resurrection is going to take place because that's what the Lord said in his word. I want to read it, and then we're going to be done. 7 verses. Can y'all read with me? All right. Let's go to Matthew 28, verses 1 through 7. When I pause or drop it, y'all pick it up. Now, after the Sabbath, verse 1, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see what? The tomb. Y'all sound good. Verse 2, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from and came and rolled back the stone from the door. Look how cool he was. And then what'd he do? Boy, that's a cool angel. Just rolled the stone back that a man couldn't move, and then he sat on it. His countenance was like lightning. And his clothes, look at that drip, as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him. They saw this angel face to face and got scared. And became like dead men. They saw something they had never what? Never seen before. Verse 5, but the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek who? Who was crucified. He is not here. Oh, I better say that again. He is not, for he is. This is the key. These next three words, as he, there it is. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. Therefore, you will see him. Behold, finish it. I have told you. But the key is, he rose just as he what? Just as he said. Resurrection took place because that's what he said was going to happen. And he done told us today, guess what's going to happen? Resurrection is going to happen. Why? He is the resurrection. He's going to resurrect whatever is dead in your life. He's going to turn that thing. He's going to turn it around. You need to get a picture in your mind. God going to turn this thing around. He's going to resurrect whatever's dead in my life. Why? Because Jesus is the resurrection. I'm going to stop right there. Let's give God a hand clap for being the resurrection.
Yeah. You say you're searching for happiness. This the way to go. You say you want peace. This the way to go. If you're trying to see Jesus, this the way to go. We all wanna live. This the way to go. The show. 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 This the way to go. The show.
You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go. Thank you for listening to today's message. Please be sure to stop by Pastor Baker's website. Go to www.jeromeabaker.com. Until next time, remember, Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You just need to know the way to go.